we started discussing last time the issue of what the purpose of a Beis Din is, and we had a basic chakira of what the purpose of a Beis Din is. Is the Beis Din there to promote emes, or is the Beis Din there primarily to promote shalom? So we started discussing Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabo, but even before we get to that, I think we mentioned the discussion between Rashi and Tosfos in terms of when we say that if one guy chooses one dayan, the other guy chooses another dayan, and the two of them together choose a third dayan, so the Gemara says that's the ideal situation, because then Yatsa Din Emes Hadin La'amito, that's going to be the true Emes. So the question is, in what way is that Din La'amito? So Rashi writes something along the lines, and Tosfos says at the beginning also, something along the lines of, it makes the Bali Din happy. It makes them more comfortable. They feel like there's someone there advocating for them, and that makes them happy. So that's MS. The fact that they're comfortable, that itself is MS. However, we saw the Nemuka Yosef very clearly said that no, what makes it more MS is that the Dayanim themselves are going to be much more patient in the way that they judge the case. They're not going to rush to judgment. Nemuka Yosef writes, and we know that if you want to judge properly, have a Masunim Bedin, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, you have to be very deliberate in your judgments. You shouldn't just paskin very quickly on something. And that way, it's going to be more MS, because they're going to come to a more correct psak. Forget about making the Bali Din happy. It's not about who's happy. It's a more correct psak. So we saw that little, and Tosos, we said the two deus and Tosos, maybe one sounds a little more like it's Shalom, the other led it's a little more like it's MS. But you see this friction between the possibility that the primary purpose of the Beis Din is to make everyone happy and to have social harmony, versus the primary purpose of the Beis Din just being MS. What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want from us? What does it say? What's the truth? Who's right? Who's wrong? So that's how it comes up in that machlokas. It also may come up in the context of Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabo. There is a Gemara in Maseches Erevin. The primary sugi of Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabo is actually Maseches Erevin. But to introduce it, let's take a look at Tosfos over here. I think we may have begun this Tosfos. The Gemara tells us that one of the unique Batei Din, one of the unique situations, was the Beidina de Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. That when you have a situation like the Beidina de Rav Huna v'Rav Chista, then even the Lova can force the Malva to go to his Beis Din, if it's like the Beis Din of Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. So what does it mean, like the Beis Din of Rav Chista? What was unique about that Beis Din? So Rashi said that they were in the same place. They were in the same city. So that's what it means, like the Beis Din of Rav Chista, in the same city. So it's not an inconvenience for the Malva to be schlepped to the Lova's Beis Din, because it's in the same city anyway. Frek Tosfos, lo nihira, damnin and Rav Chista, lo yamar lefnei Rav Huna afil be'yasa b'kudcha. No, it could not possibly be that Rav Huna and Rav Chista were in the same city, because Rav Chista was a Talmud of Rav Huna, and he would never paskin anything in front of Rav Huna. For sure, obviously, if you wouldn't paskin a simple halacha in front of Rav Huna, he obviously wouldn't set up a Beis Din right in front of Rav Huna's face, right in front of Rav Huna's Beis Din. He would never have the chutzpah to do that. It's a kal v'chomer. He wouldn't even pass in a pashra halacha. My fleshik spoon fell into my, you know, pot of noodles cooked in the dairy pot. He wouldn't pass in that in front of Rav Huna. Kal v'chomer. He's not gonna set up a whole Beis Din in front of Rav Huna. Even the most pashra halachas. I remember when I was started as the assistant rabbi in Shari Tefila, Rabbi Walter Wurzberger, the Zichron Levracha, was the rabbi emeritus. Rav David Weinberger still is the Rav of the Shul, and someone came over to ask Rabbi Wurzberger a question. Rabbi Wurzberger, Zichron Levracha, said, "You haven't murdered the Asra, I'm sorry, I can't answer the question." So I said to him, "Rabbi Wurzberger, you were the Rav of the Shul for over 30 years. You really can't paskin halacha?" He said, I don't want to step on the murdered Asra. So I said, "The most pashut question? What if someone would ask you, like, the simplest question in the world? You still wouldn't paskin?" He said, "Maybe if someone would tell me they're contemplating committing murder, I would tell them there's an Isser of Lo Sirtzach." But he says, short of that, I don't think I would paskin anything. So Rav Chista was makbid even the most pashut question in the world. He wouldn't paskin in front of Rav Huna. So says Tosfos, it can't be that he set up a Beis Din. Tosfos says it must be that they were beyond Gimel Parsos, away from each other, where there's no Isser of a Talmud being Mar Halacha Bifnei Rabbah. Other poskim, however, Margolios Yam quotes from other Rishonim that say that no, he did set up a Beis Din right in front of him. The only Isser of being Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbo is to paskin a Shaila in front of your Rebbe. But to do a Din Torah, a Beis Din, in the same place where your Rebbe's Beis Din is, that's better. That's okay. The exact opposite of Tulsa Svara. Tulsa says, if you're not even going to pass a Shaila, then of course you're not going to set up a Beis Din. That's a much greater chutzpah to set up a Beis Din. But the way the Margolis Yam quotes from other, I forget from who he quotes, but he quotes from other Achronim, the exact opposite. I don't remember if it's Rishon or Marchonim, but Margolis Yam quotes from somebody the exact opposite. That to paskin in front of your Rebbe, that's Azayah Chutzpah, to paskin in front of a Rebbe, but set up a Din Torah, that's okay. You could set up your own Bezin in front of your Rebbe. So what I want to examine is, why should there be a difference? I understand Tosfos Svara. Setting up a whole Beis Din is that I'm not just paskening in front of my Rebbe, I'm setting up a whole structure within which I am set up to always pasken in front of my Rebbe. That I get. That sounds a lot worse. But what about these Gedolim that are quoted in the Margolis Yosiyam? What's their Svara? Why would it be usher to paskin that your fleshik spoon needs to be kashered in front of your Rebbe, but it's not usher to set up a Beis Din in front of your Rebbe? What would possibly be the Svara for such a thing? So in order to arrive at an answer to that, which I think will help us on this in this discussion of MS versus Shalom, the primary role of a Beis Din, I want to turn to a beautiful piece that I saw published in the Sefer Kavod HaRav. Kavod HaRav was a Sefer that was put out by YU. I think it was in honor of Rav Salvechik's 80th or 85th birthday. They had a variety of his Talmidim and Chaverim who published articles in Kavod HaRav. I think there's an article from Rav Moshe Feinstein, from Rav Ruderman. They had like a major Gedolim published there, and they also had many, many articles from Talmidim or Rav Salvechik. So Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger, the Rav in Bergenfield, New Jersey, Rosh Shiva and Yeshiva University, I'm sure many of you know who he is, very, very big Talmud Chacham, has a beautiful article on the topic of Hora'a b'makom rabo, paskening in front of your Rebbe, and I think that article sheds a lot of light on our discussion. So the basic two issues that Rabbi Neuberger tries to deal with are as follows. Number one, the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara in Misach Zerv and Daf Samach Gimel say that what's the Isser? When are you not allowed to pasken in front of your Rebbe? When you're within Gimel Parsa'os. When you're within three parsa of your Rebbe. But once you're beyond Gimel Parsa'os, then you're allowed to pasken in front of your Rebbe. Where does the Gemara get Gimel Parsa'os? Where does three parasangs, whatever a parasang is, where does that come from? So it comes from the Machne Yisrael in the Midbar. That if you wanted a pasken in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, within three parsa'os, it was considered that you're Mora Halacha Bifnei Moshe Rabbeinu, because you were within the Machne Yisrael. But outside of three parsos, you're outside of the Machne Yisrael, that's not considered being Mora Halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's where it comes from. So, Frank Rabbi Neuberger, two questions. Question number one, Shulchan Aruch in Yardes and Reishman Beis Siflam Beis says that a Rebbe Muvhak can be Mochel al Kavodo. The Halacha is, you have a Chiv of Kavod for your Rebbe Muvhak, right? A person has to be Mechabed the Rebbe Muvhak. Whether there is a din of Rebbe Muvhak Bizman Hazeh is also another fascinating discussion. If one could cogently argue that there's no such thing as Rebbe Muvhak Bizman Hazeh because Svarim are our Rebbe Muvhak. We learn most of our learning, no matter how many shiurim you attend from any given Rebbe, most of our learning really comes from Svarim. So there are those that argue that our real Rebbe Muvhak is Svarim. I think Rav Chaim Voloshiner writes in his commentary to Pirkei Avos that it's asr to be mara alacha b'fnei rabo, and therefore you're not allowed to pasken unless you consult the Sefer first. Because Svarim are your Rebbe, so you're not allowed to pasken unless you consult the Sefer first. Phenomenal chiddush. That's a very unusual chiddush that's called mara alacha b'fnei rabo. We're going to have to see what does that tell us about the nature of Mora Halacha, of the din of Mora Halacha b'fnei Rabo, that a Sefer has a din of a Rebbe. So we're going to have to discuss that. But anyway, when you have a Rebbe Muvhak, you're not allowed to pasken in front of it. You have to honor him, you have to stand for him, you have to do all sorts of things for a Rebbe Muvhak. But the Halacha is that if the Rebbe is Mochel on his Kavod and he says, sit, you don't have to stand for me, fine. So then the Halacha is that he has the right to be Mochel on his Kavod. The Rebbe Muvhak has the right to be Mochel on his Kavod. Yet, the Rama writes that when it comes to paskening in front of your Rebbe, even if the Rebbe is Mochel, you're not allowed to pasken in front of your Rebbe. Even if you say, no, it's fine, you go ahead. You're still not allowed to pasken. He gave you smicha. What's smicha nowadays? Heter hora'a. Heter hora'a means I give you the right to pasken. But he's not authorized to give you the right to pasken in front of him. He's authorized to give you the right to pasken, but not to pasken in front of him, says the Rambam. So the question is, why? If he's allowed to be Mochel on his Kavod, Pashtus is the din of Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabo is a din in kavod. You're trying to show honor to your Rebbe, so you don't pass in front of your Rebbe. So if he's allowed to be mochel on his kavod, why can't he be mochel on paskening in front of him? Isn't that purely a din of kavod? The other question Rabbi Neuberger asks is, right, everyone gets that question? You good on that one? The other question he asks is, why gimel parsa'os matters? Meaning, shouldn't it depend? Our communities are not built nowadays in gimel parsa'os pieces. You know, we don't build like Lawrence is gimel parsa'os and Cedars is gimel parsa'os. It's just based on however the neighborhood happens to work out. We're not like built in gimel parsa'os. What does that mean, gimel parsa'os? Why would gimel parsa'os make a difference, right? How we define an ear, pizman hazeh, for my nafkamina, let's say for the isra of yichud, there's a heter that if the husband is be'ir, baila be'ir, the husband's in town, there's no isra of yichud with the wife, because the husband could, the logic is that emas baila aleha, that she's always afraid of her husband if he's in town, if he's in the city. So how do we define that? Gimel prasos? We define it by, of course not. How do we define it is also a good question. Okay, it's the topic of another shir. Do you say all of New York City? So it's all called New York City, so it would all be New York City. Or do you say, like, the five towns far Rockaway, we share one vad, one mikvah, one eruv, so it's five towns far Rockaway, even though it's really two mikvahs, two eruv, but whatever, one vad, except for the rabbis don't hold of it, but, you know, basically one vad. So it's one city. That gives it the shame of one. I don't know. Does the Ribbono Shel Olam view it that way? I'm not, Rabbi Shai Shachter told me that last week, it was just Stam, an interesting story, that he showed Rabbi Shechter, showed his father the email that Rabbi Forst Shlita sent out to his Balabatim after the hurricane. Rabbi Forst sent out an email saying a lot of things. One of the things he said is, you know, like we were all saying, Baruch Hashem, we're safe, we're healthy, could have been so much worse. We have a lot to be thankful for. Thank God things didn't turn out. You know, he said those who stayed and ignored the evacuation order shouldn't gloat that, oh, look, you see, it turned out to be nothing. I'm so smart. Baruch Hashem, because Baruch Hu didn't make it so bad. But you had no way of knowing that in advance, obviously. We should be very thankful. And he said he showed that to Rabbi Shechter. Rabbi Shechter started to cry. And he said, doesn't Rabbi Forst realize the reason nobody got hurt in the five towns far Rockaway area is because they have a tzaddik like Rabbi Forst there, and it's his zechus that saved everybody? And Rabbi Shechter knows that. But that's okay. Anyway, it's pretty. I don't know, but so we all got saved. North Woodmere also got saved because Rabbi Forrest in Paraguay. It's all one city. So how do you define? Is it based on Gimel Parsos, or is it not based on why would Gimel Parsos be the kaveh for generations? Bish Lama in the Midbar. I understand Gimel Parsos, but say it depends on the community. It depends on how you define ear for Eruvei Tchumin, or how you define ear for Baila Be'ir. However, let's find some other parallel in Halacha where you have to define ear and say that would be the Yisra of Mar Halacha B'Pnei Rabba. Why Davka Gimel Parsos? The truth is, right, it's a great piece Rabbi Neuberger wrote. That question, I don't love his answer to. As we go through, you'll see what you tell me what you think. So he starts out as follows: there is a Ran Masech Sanhedrin, and the Ran Masech Sanhedrin Dafhem Beis holds that Mechila works even for a Beis in Betoch Gimel Parsaos, meaning against what the Ramah holds. The Ramah says that if a Rebbe is Mochel, says it's okay, you can paskin in front of me. It's okay. The Mechila doesn't work. The Ran of Masech Sanhedrin says it does work, that it's a din in kavod. The Ran makes a lot of sense. The din of not passing in front of Rebbe is a din in kavod. Rebbe says it's okay. He's mochon his kavod. He has a right to be mochon his kavod. Fine. We're done. So now you can pass in front of the Rebbe. Tosfos, however, Sanhedrin daf hamid beis. Normally I'd go through and show you how to make the diuk in the Tosfos, but again, I'm going to have to leave a little bit early. I want to get through the sugya. So you take a look. Tosfos, you have Seder after Shir today, so you have time to take a look. Tosfos Sanhedrin Daf Hamid Beis strongly implies that Mechila does not work for Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabbo. The Rambam doesn't mention Mechila working by Lahoros Lefanu. When the Rambam talks about what Mechila works for, he doesn't mention Mechila working for Hora B'fanu. So essentially what we have is Machlokas Rishonim. The Ran holds that Mechila does work, even for paskening in front of the Rebbe, but Tosfos, the Rambam, the way the Ramah paskens, seems to assume that Mechila does not work for the Isser of paskening in front of a Rebbe. So what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas? What are they arguing about? Why wouldn't Mechila work? Now, why Mechila would work is very easy. Mechila works for the din of kavod that you have to show a Rebbe mufok. So maybe Mara Alach B'Fei Rabbel is a din kavod. Rebbe's mochel on his kavod, and you're good. That's all you need. All you need is that the Rebbe should be mochel on his kavod. So the Ran's Shita, I understand, that's very good. What's the other side? Why would you say that Mechila shouldn't work by Mora Halacha B'tnei Rabbo? Mechila works for everything else that a Rebbe Mufak does. So what's the Svar on the other side? So maybe you could suggest, well, let's take a look. Why does Mechila work for a Rebbe? I mean, let's go back to the basics. We said a Rebbe is allowed to be Mochel, don't stand for me. So the Rebbe is allowed to be Mochel that. Why? Why is he allowed to be Mochel that? Who's not allowed to be Mochel? Melech Shmochel al Kvodoin Kvodo Mochel. Good. King is not allowed to be Mochel. Why is a Rebbe yes allowed to be Mochel? So what's the Teretz? Why is he allowed, why is the Melech not allowed to be Mochel? It's a big deal. Why can the Melech just say, alright, enough with this, you know, I just want to be a regular guy who eats hamburgers, you know, in whatever, like the president always gets a photo op to me, you know, I just want to be a regular guy in my jeans on my ranch, you know, like all regular guys have a ranch. So why is the Melech not allowed to be Mochel? It's a Pashto Svara, no? What? He's representing something. I don't know if it's God, maybe, but clearly the idea of, in yesterday's parsha, we have mitzvah, som tas melech melech. The mitzvah of appointing a king is that, as the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, that have mispal b'shlomo shel malchus, because if it weren't for malchus, ish Yisrael chayim bla'o, people who would swallow each other alive, right? So we need malchus. Malchus is very important. Because we need some sort of social structure to keep everybody in line. We need somebody with a lot of power so that if somebody steps out of line, there could be repercussions. Otherwise, it will be complete chaos. So Malchus is very important. Now, Malchus in the wrong hands is very dangerous, obviously. If Melech is someone who is a little trigger-happy and he's got access to the nuclear arsenal, so that obviously could have a disproportionate effect on a very large number of people just because he woke up in a grumpy mood that day. So Malchus in the wrong hands is very bad, but the idea of Malchus is very important. And that's why you find, by the way, that even though normally the Torah is very black and white, this is good, that's bad. 365 los assays, 248 assays. When it comes to the mitzvah to appoint a melech, the Torah is decidedly vague about it. The Torah says, when people say, we want a melech, then som tas melech a melech. And then you read a little further, you go into Navi, and when they actually ask for a melech, it's, well, wait a second, you're insulting God, you're insulting Shmuel, you're bad people. What do you mean? They're just trying to do a mitzvah. It says in the Torah, there's a mitzvah of a melech. The Torah is vague about it, probably because malchus is something that, while it serves a very important purpose, could also be extremely dangerous. But anyway, there is this idea of malchus that's important for the functioning of society. If a melech is always mochel on his kavod, then you're not going to have that emas hamalchus. It's not up to the melech to decide that society shouldn't have a melech. The malchus isn't his personally. It belongs to the nation. The whole nation needs a malchus. It's theirs. It's not his to be malchel. So what's the nekuda? Whenever it's about you, you could be malchel for yourself. When it's yours, you can be malchel. When it's about something bigger than you, then you cannot be malchel. So let's go back to a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara in Kiddushin says explicitly, why is a Talmud Chacham allowed to be mochel on his kavod? Fascinating. I would have said, Torah is not his. The Gemara says, Torah delehu. The Torah is his. And then I would walk away sheepishly, I'm obviously wrong, right? The Torah is his. The Gemara says, Beferish, the Torah is his. Torah delehu. So why is a Talmud Chacham allowed to be mochel on his kavod? Anything that's personal to you, you can be mochel on. If it's bigger than you, you're not allowed to be mochel on. Now that we know that, that's the rule. When you have somebody who is a Talmud Chacham, a Rebbe Mufak, you don't want to stand for him. Okay, that's the covet you're giving him personally. He could be Mochel. Why would Tosfos and the Rambam and the Ramah hold that he does not have the right to be Mochel, you paskening right in front of him? You would have to in some way argue that paskening in front of a Rebbe is not just about personal covet for the Rebbe. But what's it about? It's about the entire communal structure of the Torah community. That the Torah community needs a certain hierarchy. Rav Shachtis always likes to point this out, that there are some rabbis that specialize in Psak Halacha, that Bekiyim in all of Torah. Some rabbis specialize in Lamdus, and some rabbis specialize in doing protests in front of the United Nations. But if the rabbi who specializes in doing protests in front of the United Nations decides he's going to paskin all Aguda Shailas, then, you know, you're in trouble. There needs to be some sort of hierarchy that, you know, the most serious Shailas go to the most serious Talmidei Chachamim. Otherwise, the whole thing falls apart. So what are you going to have? You're going to have a Rebbe who's a much greater Talmud Chacham who taught all this young Shnuk all of his Torah. And then the young Shnuk decides, I always tell Talmudim this, they text me guys sometimes from the YU Beis Medrash. They're texting from the Beis Medrash. They're sitting 5 feet away from Rav Shechter. And they're texting me Shailas. I'm like, you are 5 feet away from Rav Shechter. Just ask him. He's right next to you. Right? Meaning, who am I? I'm a Paskin? He's right there. I don't know if that's Neira, but that's an interesting question with modern technology. But anyway, I don't actually say that. Normally, I'll just answer them. But you know, sometimes I think that what do you have to say? That it's a breakdown of the whole structure of the Torah community if you have the little guy paskening right in front of the big guy when the big guy should be the one paskening. We're turning the whole Torah community upside down. It's not about the covenant of the greater rabbi. It's about the entire structure of the Torah community. That's what you would have to say, l'chora, for the Rambam and for Tosfos. Is it an affront to the Talmud Chacham himself, that would be the Shita of the Ran, or a breakdown of the structure of the Torah community? In fact, Rabbi Neuberger points out, there's a medrash by Nadav and Avihu. Right, what did Nadav and Avihu get in trouble for? So the medrash tells us, not get in trouble, they died. They got killed for. What happened? So the medrash tells us, Nadvaviu shlochilku kavod the Aaron. They didn't give kavod to Aaron. That's one. And also, Amru Nadvaviu masai shnei zekedim alolu mesim va'anu ninahege sakal. When will these two guys get out of the way so we could take over? So says Rabbi Neuberger, those are two distinct dinim. Number one, there's a lack of kavod. Kavod for the individual. You have to mechabe the rebellion. Number two, they wanted to break down the whole structure of the way the Torah community was working. Everyone had looked up to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. They wanted to be in that spot. Those are the two nekudos, the two tzadim, the Ran versus Tosfos and the Rambam and the Ramah. Right? The kavod for the individual, as well as the entire just breakdown of the infrastructure of the Torah community. There is a Gemara Maseches Erevin. The Gemara Maseches Erevin tells us, where is that Gemara? Yeah, the Gemara Maseches Erevin tells us as follows. Around Samach Bey, Samach Gimel, Gemara says, Ravina have a Yosef Kamed Ravashi. Ravina was sitting in front of Ravashi. He saw a certain guy tying his donkey onto some sort of tree on Shabbos. So he's being mishtamish bila and he was using the tree. Ramalei kala. So he started yelling at him. Lo ashkach bei. And the guy didn't listen. Amalei lahavi hai gavra b'shamta. It's like meisharim, right? This is the he didn't throw rocks. He said, you should be b'shamta, you should be in cherem for what you're doing. Amar Leh, and then he said, ooh, wait a second. I'm Ravina, I'm standing in front of Ravashi. Ravashi's my Rebbe. Maybe I shouldn't be screaming that the guy should be in cherem and my Rebbe's standing right here. So Amar Leh, ki agavni mimus chazak hafkarusa. He said, Rebbe, was that bad? Did I just do something wrong? Does that look like I'm being mor alach b'fnei Rebbe or any sort of chutzpah? So Amar Leh, ein chachma vein tuna vein netzel neged Hashem. He said, no, because right then you saw someone doing an isser, you were trying to stop the isser. So you were trying to just react immediately to stop the person from doing something terrible. In that situation, you're allowed to do whatever you can. You're not chalik kavod the rav in that situation. You don't give kavod to your rebbe, you give kavod to the ribbono shalom, and don't allow this isser to be violated right under his nose. Yeah. Ah, exactly. Same thing with Pinchas. Although Pinchas was Nimlach by Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Chazal, Pinchas said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Didn't you lo kenya and then Rabbeinu? Didn't you teach us Moshe that kanoim pogimbo?" And Moshe Rabbeinu responded, "Kaira de igrasa yu lahavi pavanka." The one who reads the proclamation, he's going to be the one that has to carry it out. So you're the one that remembered it, you carry it out. So that's a question actually the Akronim have, whether one of the major kashas in that whole story is that Kanaim Pogimbo, the halacha is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the halacha of Kanaim Pogimbo is only if you don't ask a shayla, if you immediately do it out of kanos. Yet the Gemara tells us the whole story that Pinchas actually asked Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, "Well, what should I do? Didn't you teach us?" And Moshe, there's a whole give and take. So, Mela, the whole klal of Kanaim Pogimbo wasn't operative anymore. That's a kasha that a lot of the Achronim deal with. But yeah, it may have been different there because he did ask Moshe Rabbeinu. But anyway, so in this Gemara in Erevin, what's going on? What was the hesitation of Ravina in front of Ravashi? So Rashi writes, Ravina says to Ravashi, "Ha milsa da avidus kamech hashta mi havya afkirusa chutzpa olo." Was this chutzpah or was it not chutzpah? So what you see is that he holds that the Isra of paskening in front of his Rebbe was that chutzpah. It looked like chutzpah. Chutzpah to who? Not to the Torah community. Chutzpah to the Rebbe. A din in kavod harav. It was a violation of the honor of that Rebbe. But the Rambam seems to understand differently. The Rambam, in his Pirush HaMishnayos of Masechet Sanhedrin, that writes that afkarusa comes from the lashon of apikores. And where does apikores mean? Apikores means shemafkir umevaze es haTorah olomdeha. Apikores is not about a given rabbi. I think that rabbi is a moron or whatever. I don't like that guy. And I'm umevaze a given person. It's not about a personal issue with a rabbi. Apikores, afkarusa, means something much bigger. It means that I don't respect the entire system of Torah that we have set up in the Jewish community. That's afkarusa. So the way the Rambam understands Ravina's hesitation, Ravina says to Ravashi, "Was this afkarusa?" So what's he asking? Not, "Oh, did I insult you? Was this wrong on a personal level to you?" What was he really asking? Was this a breakdown of the Torah community? How does he understand Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabbo? The Rambam? As not respecting the system. Rambam Lashitaso holds. No, who remembers? The Rambam holds if a Rebbe's mochel, is the Rebbe allowed to be mochel to paskin in front of him or not? What does the Rambam hold? That the Rebbe's not allowed to be mochel. Why? Lashitaso. Mora halacha b'fnei Rabbo is afkarusa. It's a breakdown of the Torah community. So Rebbe can't be mochel the breakdown of the Torah community. He can be mochel his own kavod. Can't be mochel the breakdown of the Torah community. That's the Shita Sarambam. Rabbi Neuberger suggests that maybe Gimel Parsaos makes sense if it's a breakdown of the Torah community and doesn't make sense if it's a din in personal kavod. Because personal kavod may just depend on where he feels is his jurisdiction. But breakdown of the Torah community may be defined by the original Torah community. He thinks that's enough to answer the Gimel Parsaos. I don't really see it so much, but okay. Where else does this come up? Talmud Chaver. You familiar with the concept of Talmud Chaver? You know what the concept of Talmud Chaver means? Let's say you have a Talmud. When Rabbi Kamenetsky is in a very, very humble mood, he'll sometimes refer to like people like me and Rabbi Cohn as a Talmud Chaver. Even though we're not really, I'm not really. But Talmud Chaver means you have a Talmud who's developed to the point where he says, because the Rebbe, but, you know, the Rebbe brought him there. You know, he nurtured him along, and Talmidim sometimes are matzliach, and they learn well, and they become Talmud Chaver. I have many Talmidim that have far surpassed me in learning already. Right? So Talmud Chaver, that's the concept of a Talmud Chaver. So, by a Talmud Chaver, is there an Isra of Mor Halacha B'fnei Rabbo? You understand the question? Is there an Isra Mor Halacha B'fnei Rabbo if I'm a Talmud of somebody, but I've equaled him in learning already? So, let's go back. What's the Isra Mor Halacha B'fnei Rabbo? Two possibilities. Either what? A dinin kavod, for him personally, or a dinin, the structure of the Torah community. That it's wrong to have somebody who knows less pass in front of somebody who knows more. Do I have to have personal kavod for someone who taught me and was my Rebbe, but now I've equaled or surpassed him in learning? Absolutely, I have to have kavod for him. He's my Rebbe. without a doubt. I remember when I was in Yeshivat Kerem B'Yavne, Pastor Melman's brother, Rabbi Michael Hecht came to visit once. And Michael Hecht was my 11th grade Rebbe. Great 11th grade Rebbe, amazing Rebbe. Taught me how to read Rishon. Anyway, he came to visit Kerem B'Yavne, and Rav Aaron Silver and Rav Shlomo Friedman, two gewaldika talmidei chachamim, were like following him around like he was the Gadol Adar. Like he was the Rebbe. Now Rabbi Hecht will be the first one to tell you that Rav Aaron Silver and Rav Shlomo Friedman have surpassed him in learning. They've been sitting and learning 24 hours a day forever, and they're incredibly brilliant. But they're Talmud Chaver. That's a, you have to have kavod for the Rebbe. So on a personal level, if Mor Halacha B'fnei Rabbah were din kavod, Talmud Chaver should have it also. But if it's din in the needed structure of the Torah community, well, they should have every right to paskin in front of the Rebbe, because they're as great as the Rebbe. It's not a breakdown in the structure of the Torah community. The Rashba writes in a tshuva, Simon Kuf Yud Aleph, a Talmud Gomor is not allowed to paskin in front of a Rebbe, but a Talmud Chaver is allowed to paskin in front of a Rebbe. The Balei HaTosfos disagree. So what's the issue? Again, the issue may be exactly this issue. Is it in the covenant, or is it in the structure of the Torah community? I mentioned before, Chaim Volozhiner writes, and Rabbi Neuberger quotes this from the Tshuva Shvos Yaakov. I'm pretty sure it's in Rav Chaim Volozhiner in his Perish and Pirkei Avos also, but Rabbi Neuberger quotes from the Shvos Yaakov, Chelek Beis Simen Samach Dalet, not to paskin in front of a sefer unless you check the sefer first. Because Hasvarim Heim Heim Rabbul Seinu. Svarim are our Rebbeim. So, no? What do you think? What does that sound like? Why would there be an issue to paskin in front of a sefer? So, if it's a din of, you know, you have to show kavod to the individual. He's your Rebbe, so you show kavod to the Rebbe, right? You don't want to insult the Rebbe. Well, the sefer is not going to be insulted. Rarely has a sefer just opened itself up and started flapping to me. You know, hello, I'm right here. Why don't you check me? The sefer is not going to feel insulted. But if it's a din in just the proper order of things and the way things are supposed to work within the structure of a Torah community, so maybe you could begin to understand why that would apply even to a sefer as well. The Ma'arik writes that when you have a Beis Din Zabla, bring it back home to us, you have a Beis Din Zebor Lo Echad. Zebor Lo Echad, Shnei Bor Lo Echad, you have our kind of Beis Din. Ma'arik writes, even if one of the Dayanim is a Talmud, he's allowed to paskin in front of his Rebbe. He's allowed to paskin and he's allowed to serve on the Zabla Beis Din. That's what Ma'arik writes. It's Feirush against Tosfos, right? Or it seems to be against Tosfos. Why? Because Tosfos said, if you're not even allowed to paskin a basar b'chalav shayl in front of your Rebbe, for sure, you're not going to be allowed to paskin chol shem mishpat in front of your Rebbe. You're not going to be allowed to set up a Beis Din in front of your Rebbe. Merrick says, no, if it's a Zabla Beis Din, you're allowed to. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? What's the issue? So maybe it depends on how you understand what Beis Din is there for. What's Beis Din trying to accomplish? If you understand the Isra of Mor Halacha B'fnei Rebbe, B'fnei Rabbo, to be a breakdown of the Torah community, a breakdown of the structure of the Torah, and one second, let me just be clear about this. Ma'arik says, if it's a Beis Din Kavua, you're not allowed to set up a Beis Din Kavua in front of your Rebbe. So he would agree with Tosos, a Beis Din Rav Chista, couldn't be that he set up a Beis Din Kavua in front of his Rebbe. But a Zabla would be okay. Zabla would be okay. Why? If you understand that, the Isra of Horab Bifnei Rabbo is that it's a breakdown in the proper structure of a Torah community. That who are you to paskin in front of him? This guy's so much greater than you. How could you paskin in front of him? If you understand it that way, breakdown in the structure of the Torah community. Is a Zabla necessarily, when you pick a Zabla Beis Din, are you picking the greatest Talmud Chacham you could find? Is that the criteria with which you pick a Zabla? The greatest Talmud Chacham you could find? It doesn't seem that way. You're picking a Zabla, someone who could relate to you. Zabar Lacha, because he's my advocate. He's someone who gets me. He's going to He'll understand my side of the story. That's what a Zabla Beis Din is all about. So is that a breakdown in the structure of the Torah community? No. Because it's under no pretense of trying to pick the greatest rabbi. If we were under the pretense of trying to pick the greatest rabbi, well then why don't you pick these guys? His rebbe's right there. So if it's a Beis Din Kavua, which should be the greatest Dayanim around, so Marik would understand, good, then you can't do it in front of your Rebbe. You can't set up a Beis Din Kavua in front of your Rebbe. But a Zabel Beis Din, that you can set up in front of your Rebbe. One could argue, to go even further than the Marik, to defend Rashi here, that maybe even if it's a Beis Din Kavua, it's not about who's better when determining who's going to be the Beis Din Kavua. Because Beis Din's primary role may not be to determine the MS, to determine what the truth is. If Beis Din's role were to determine the MS, what is true, what isn't true, then Eino Chinami, it would be a breakdown, an entire breakdown of the Torah community to have the lesser people being the judges when there are greater people that aren't serving as judges. But if Beis Din's role is one of shalom primarily, if Beis Din's role is primarily about making everyone happy, everyone should walk away okay, everyone should be comfortable with it, then it may not make any difference who the greater people are. That's not a breakdown of the Torah community. I'm picking the greatest arbiters of shalom, not the greatest, most knowledgeable Talmidei Chachamim to be on my Beis Din Kavua. So Margoliyos Hayam quotes shitos that hold that even though you're never allowed to paskin a shaila in front of your Rebbe, you're allowed to set up Beis Din in front of your Rebbe. Why can't I paskin a shaila in front of my Rebbe? Either because it's a lack of kavod for the Rebbe, or perhaps what we suggested, according to the way the Rama understands, not just a lack of comfort for the Rebbe, it's a breakdown of the Torah community. I'm going to know better whether this spoon is strafe or not than my Rebbe. My Rebbe's sitting right there. He knows much better than me. When it's Hora'a, what are you looking for in Hora'a? You're looking for MS. I want to know truth. That's what Hora'a is all about. Who am I to paskin? My Rebbe's right there. It's a total breakdown of the way the Torah is supposed to work. But a Beis Din, Margoliyos Hayam quotes from others, Beis Din may be okay to set up in front of my Rebbe. Because Beis Din may not be, he doesn't say this, but this is what I'm suggesting, Beis Din may not be about what? About MS? If it were about MS, I shouldn't be allowed to do that in front of my Rebbe either. But that might not be what Beis Din's about. Beis Din might be about Shalom. In which case, even the Talmud could be set up a Beis Din in front of the Rebbe. He's not saying I'm greater than the Rebbe. He's just saying I'm helping to promote Shalom. And you don't have to be a greater Talmud Chacham to promote Shalom. So it turned out that this friction between Emes and Shalom would turn out to be Marik would be in the middle. You'd have the Margoliyos Hayam totally on the Shalom side, and you'd have Tosfos on the MS side. I mean, Tosfos says, Beis Din's got to be about MS, because, look, how do I know Tosfos holds that? He says, if I can't pask in front of my Rebbe, then I for sure can't set up a Beis Din in front of my Rebbe. He's obviously assuming MS. Marik says, it depends what kind of Beis Din. A Beis Din Kavua is about MS. A Zabla Beis Din is about Shalom. A little more nuanced view. The Zachron quoted by Margoliyos Hayam would say, no, even a Beis Din Kavua is about Shalom. Even a Beis Din that's an established Beis Din, that's the Beis Din of the ear, is about Shalom. And that's why you could do it in front of your Rebbe. Okay, so that's another case where we see this conflict between Emes and Shalom. Tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, I want to go through three other cases where we see conflict between Emes and Shalom, where we see this discussion about Emes and Shalom, and then we're going to move on. The next major sugya we're going to be doing, just so you can know how to prepare, the next major sugya we're going to be doing is Nogea Be'edos on Chav Gimel and Beis. So I'm not going to, we may read through the Gemara quickly and say a little Ha'aris, but I'm not really going to focus on any of the Gemaras between here and Chav Gimel and Beis, Nogea Be'edos. So I guess by either the second half of Shir tomorrow, or certainly by Tuesday, we should be ready. We should definitely be up to that part of the Gemara to be ready for Nogei Be'edus. Okay, sorry, I got to run. Thanks.